I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and this is another fine day for us to get together. You know, even when they're tearing down statues and trying to destroy our country at many, many levels, this is still the greatest country in the world and the greatest place to be, the greatest chance for opportunity, for freedom, and for liberty. That being said, we are under attack. Our national psyche is being wounded. We have people who we thought it was bad when President Trump was elected and families and friends stopped speaking to each other or were nasty on social media or even, oh my gosh, unfriended each other. But now we're seeing actual rioting, actual violence. People are actually getting killed. Things are at a fever pitch now. And we have to start looking at this to figure out, hey, where do we go from here? Does the genie get put back in the bottle? You know, I've been thinking about this a lot. And before I get to my pages of outrages today, because there's a lot going on, I'm writing a column that right now I've titled tentatively A Case for War. And I don't say that flippantly. I don't say that as, trying to make a joke or be provocative. What I'm saying is when we look at the historical record of the United States or of just about anywhere that has had revolutions, we see that the information and the action comes in waves. You know, it starts out with some discontent or some problems and it ebbs and flows over time until the discontent turns into an intolerable lifestyle. And for a long time, for many of you out there who have been listening to Chasing Justice for a long time, first of all, I love and appreciate all of you. I have been talking about approaching the crossroad. I've saw it coming for a long time, and we could see the different societal things, you know, the culture-based kind of things changing over time. Some of them are good, right? Some of them have been good, but a lot of them have been bad. And we're at the point now where we're seeing open dissension to a level I don't think any of us have ever seen before or would expect. It is kind of frightening when you see mobs attacking people, mobs destroying public property, shutting down streets, taking over streets. I mean, you know, as much as that is serious, what's going on in Seattle in the CHOP or the CHAZ or whatever they're calling it this week, we know that it is insurrection at its base. When the people there have taken those blocks where people who do not want to participate live, have businesses and whatnot, and said, this is our own sovereign territory, we know that that's a problem. Now, I think for the most part, we see the very, very liberal, progressive governor and mayor of those kind of cities. We see them kind of going along with it because, you know, it fits their model of the world, and it's a great experiment in freedom. The rest of us can look at that and see it in two ways. One, we can look at it and see it and go, well, it's horrifying that people have commandeered a piece of an American city. And like I said, if it was just those people in the area who wanted to all do that together, that would be, you know, bad enough. But when there's people there who don't want to be a part of it, who have businesses there that are suffering, that don't want to be a part of being a sovereign nation within America and withdrawing, seceding kind of a thing. Now you have a very serious problem. And it would almost be funny to see these people, you know, the nonsense that they get involved in and the way they comport themselves and the things they're saying, if it wasn't so actually dangerous. And an idea that will probably catch on in other American cities where people will take the same initiative. Hey, this is our moment to do what we want to do. And it's those things, when you look historically, it's not a big wave. Revolution doesn't happen in one day. People don't wake up on a Tuesday and say, it's time for revolution. It's a whole bunch of little incidents that change the psyche of the people who have to live within that kind of chaos that's going on. And that group of people is really all of us. We're all sitting back and watching this, and we're seeing these incidents, and we're seeing them increase. We're seeing a complete attempt to void our history by tearing down statues and monuments and voiding people out of history, you know, like writing them out. It's interesting. I saw a movie one time it was a fictional movie, about ancient Egypt, and there was a king that, for whatever reason, maybe he was very evil, very bad, whatever, they decided to erase him from history. So they went around and they chopped his name off. All the monuments and all the hieroglyphs and all that stuff was gone, in an attempt as though he never existed, you know? The reality, though, is that his ghost was always there, and what he did was always there. And when I see people tearing down statues and trying to rewrite our history, these are the things that should concern us. I get the message that they're trying to say. I mean, you'd have to be intellectually blind to not see. Okay, a lot of the places and statues are named after Confederates who wanted to stay slave owners. I get that. And I see why people would say, why would we have anything named after someone who wants to be a slave owner? You know, that's a bad thing. What we lose is the context of what happened here. And I spoke about this in a previous episode. I don't think I got into it quite enough. But we remember after the Civil War, I had talked about President Lincoln had a choice to make. He could either completely crush the South and the Confederates, or he could forgive them and bring them home and try for a better world, a better future. He chose the latter. He forgave them. That is why you have Confederate soldiers laying in graveyards next to, our Union soldiers. They're together because they were all Americans in the end. Which is why I believe Lincoln decided to forgive them, because it was like a big fight in the family. Now, for all you Civil War buffs out there, I understand the ramifications of the Civil War, and I understand the bloodshed and the sacrifice and the life that was lost. So I'm not making fun of it or limiting the situation of the Civil War. What I'm saying is, I think that's how Lincoln saw it. We were all Americans, and we had a big problem. And when the war was over, he decided to forgive them, like you forgive someone in your family after a big spat. And he brought them all back into the fold, which was important for us to be a nation. Had he not done that, we could not have healed. He paid for it with his life, because some people didn't agree with him doing that. And it was a very difficult time. Well, we're very close to that again. Now, for those of you who have been with me for a while here, either in my articles or here on the radio show, you know that I've been talking about this for a while. Now, I'm not taking sole credit for a thing like that. A lot of people have seen the potential for the coming of a revolution. But as I look at it, and this is what my article, A Case for War, will probably be all about, as I'm still trying to focus myself for the middle and the end of where I'm trying to go with this. But it'll be on the AmericaOutloud.com platform, so you can go see it there. What I'm looking at here is this revolution that I see coming is not a revolution against our government, per se. You know, we're not fighting back against the American form of government, trying to throw it off and do something new. That's what the other side's trying to do. The traditionalists among us, we are fighting for the government. And I don't mean as army soldiers, as in enlisted army soldiers. We are the militia of freedom. We are the Minutemen of justice and constitutional life and rule of law and all of the things that we have grown to appreciate and love about America. That's who we are. So this revolution that's coming is not a revolution against, from our point of view anyway, against our government. It's against those who would overthrow our form of government, not our particular people in office. I'm not saying that. We're not going to fight to protect President Trump. That's not the point. You have to look beyond that. We would be fighting to preserve our nation. Now, that would be great if our government fought with us, but we see that our government is completely divided. We have half of our government, our friends on the left, who see this cleansing of American history, cleansing of American tradition, destruction of our Constitution, diminution of our rights in order for something better. we see that they see that as that's a pretty good thing. We should go that way. And they are. They're going that way through their actions, through how they're encouraging this this fight between Americans. They are actually part of the problem. And we remove them by elections. That's how they get out. But it's the war in the streets that I fear is coming. That is the revolution I fear coming. And I will say so boldly that it may be a necessary thing. Now, I am not calling for an all-out war. I have warned about it for a long time, and a lot of people are now on board saying it. We see people now saying that about 26% of Americans in a recent poll said they see a new civil war coming up in the next 5 years or so. Well, it used to be a time when you couldn't imagine a timeline of 5 years for America to be turned upside down. Well, you know what? America is turned upside down. There's something new every single day that's hurting us. This is a moment in time for all of us, and I mean all of us, every one of us, people on the right, people on the left, people in the middle, for all of us to take a deep breath here and think about what we're doing. Because the road we're heading down doesn't have any off-ramps. Once it gets started, it has to go to completion, and that's going to be one way or the other. That's just the reality of it. You know, we are so used here in America to not having to think about things like this. I mean, who thinks about a revolution in America? You know, well, you get annoyed, you don't like the president, you don't like the governor of your state, you vote somebody else in, and then it changes. But in general, America stays the same. You know, we're all doing the same thing. We are not in that place anymore. And that's why I say, can we put the genie back in the bottle? Is all this just going to stop on Tuesday? Right? What are we going to do? We're going to pull down all the Confederate statues. We're going to rename all the buildings. We're going to create some new federal holidays. We're going to defund some of our police, change our police and how they actually protect us and what they do. And then everyone's going to be happy. Everyone's going to, okay, good now. Let's go back to a roaring economy. Let's go back to America's great and making it, because now we're all on the same team. Is that really going to happen? Or do we learn from history and see that our friends on the left, unfortunately, they are never satisfied with the changes that are made? Because of, and I don't mean everyone on the left, but the radical part of the left, the socialist radicals, they are never satisfied with what they're given. When you give an inch, they want a yard, as the saying goes. This is historically accurate. You can see this, right? You can see this in their cause after cause after cause when Americans have said, okay, let's think about this. Maybe you're right on some of these things. Let's change the way we behave. Let's change what we consider to be acceptable. We've done that here in America, and we continue to do that. And that's the right thing to do. If there's things that are unacceptable, that maybe were acceptable 50 years ago or 100 years ago or 200 years ago, and we realize now that they're not, we change them. But we can't change now by looking at historical personages and people and things and just saying it was so evil we have to wipe the whole thing out. Instead, we should be looking at this as here's the lesson of growth. By looking where we were, where did we come to? How did we get here today that we're so enlightened? We're so tolerant. We're so loving of everyone. Well, because we came from a place when that wasn't the norm. But what did we do? We overcame these things, sometimes through upheaval, sometimes through great crisis. But we overcame them. That is the lesson of America. That is the lesson in those statues. That is the lesson in those things that when we look at them, I think it's perfectly okay to say there's a statue there of General John Jones. He was a Confederate general, and here's what he did, and he was a slave owner, and here's what happened to him, okay? But to just tear him down and pretend he doesn't exist, first of all, goes against what Lincoln was trying to do, trying to forgive our fellow Americans. You know, if you have a big fight in your family, and some families can have really horrifying fights, right? Bad things happen. And then you go, you're going to get together, but we're going to go through the house and we're going to burn every picture of Uncle Joe. Because even though we've forgiven him and brought him back into the fold, We don't want to remember what he was like back then when he did that. So we're going to burn every picture of him. We're going to take his name off of any documents that that belong to our house or or anything. See what I'm saying? That's a little bit of an absurd correlation, but it's not that absurd. That's what we're doing now. We're looking back and saying, that was so evil, that was so terrible. This whole thing is a wreck. It never should have happened because it started from a place of evil. It started back in the day with a new idea of freedom and liberty. And it grew from that to where we are today. So we can look back then and see what was good, and we can see what was bad, and we can see what we have done to change. Now, does that mean we don't have more change to do? Of course not. There's always change to do. We're human beings. We learn, we grow, we evolve. Unfortunately, what we're doing now, the way we're going about it, is that we are not heading for glorified enlightenment and coming together. We are heading down a road where there's going to be bloodshed and destruction and pain and maybe even a ruination of God's greatest gift to the world, the United States of America. Now, I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. But I'm also a realist. And I have to look at this and say, okay, how can we survive if we continue down this road? Well, the only way we survive is if one side defeats the other. That's the only way an argument is ever really won. It's very rare that two people have such differing points of view and they agree to meet in the middle and they'll be happy with that. They may do that, but they're not happy with it. And that just sows the seeds for future problems. So that's what I'm saying. We can't have a traditional America, freedom and liberty and personal rights, and a socialist America where the government is the mommy and the daddy for everybody. The two are incompatible. The two will not survive next to each other. You can't have a little bit of socialism to make things better because that's not the nature of socialism. The nature of freedom is ever-expanding freedom. Now, is that a little scary for some people? Because it kind of puts the responsibility on you and your hard work and a little bit of luck, right? That's the reality. You know, in a free world, you have the opportunity to do anything and be anything, but it's going to require a lot from you. In the socialist world, you don't really have to do a lot. You don't get a lot. You get basic sustenance to survive. But hey, everyone's equal in their misery, right? So you can't be a little bit pregnant, and you can't be a little bit socialist, right? We are either a free, constitutional, rule of law, liberty-loving nation, or we will go down into the ash heap of history with the rest of the socialist countries of the world that eventually all crumble and fall and leave their people in misery and pain. I don't want that. I want a better future for us. So, can you make a case for war? I think I can. And it might be the right thing to do. The American people are going to have to decide. We'll be back in a minute with round two here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and here we are another afternoon together, another bunch of time to sit and contemplate the worlds, good and bad, and see what's happening. All right, so summer is unfolding, right? Summer is unfolding. The coronavirus is still with us. President Trump is back on the campaign trail. Joe Biden, I don't know, maybe he's in the basement. I'm not sure. I don't know that he knows. But here we are, together again. Now, our opening segment there, when I talked about, you know, a case for war and the possibility of what could go on in our country, is a very serious topic. Now, I know I've spoken to some people that I respect their intellect and their opinion very much, and they are basically of the opinion, yeah, you know, this is a lot of mess that's going on right now, but you know what? This is going to pass, and we're going to be right back to normal. And then I see other people who are actually panicked out of their mind that, you know, they're buying guns left and right, and they're loading up on their ammo because they're ready to go. So I just see it as this is not a normal bump in our road. This is a serious distraction from our normal approach to life. And I think we have to look at that and see it as we go. So we'll get more to that as time goes by. But, you know, keep your eye on the platform, AmericaOutloud.com, and look for my previous columns and look for this one coming up. I think you'll enjoy it. At least it'll give you something to think about. It gives us all something to think about. A case for war. All right, so President Trump is back out on the stump, endangering all his followers by sending them out there where coronavirus is. But actually, I think they were pretty smart. I had heard from somebody who was involved with the campaign that some people disagreed on the time and the location, and they were going to all go there and protest together about the time and the location, which then makes everyone immune to the coronavirus, right? Because we know if we are protesting, we're not going to get the virus. You know, protesting is okay. Rallies are not okay. Concerts are not okay. Rioting is okay. So we have to figure out what it is we're doing to give ourselves a little bit of immunity from the virus. Now, I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, but that's the reality. This is another thing we have here in our country today. We have such disconnect from reality that it's hard to decipher what is real and what is fiction. It's like I can't imagine the rest of the world sitting back looking at what's going on in our country and the way we deal with things and the whole cancel culture and the whole, you know, destroy your history culture and look at that and go, America is really powerful and a wonderful place. Look what they're doing. They must look at us like we're out of our minds, that we're nuts. What are we doing? Now, I think the reality is because there's no war going on. Now, I know there's things going on in other parts of the world where our troops are out there. God bless them. But I'm saying there's no raging world war right now. There is no famine that we're all dying. You know, everybody's getting an unemployment check that's at home to the point that people won't go back to work because they're getting more money from unemployment. So they're just going to stay home. So we're in a very strange time here. But we have to look at that and see, what does that mean for us? So the president's back out on the trail. And there was controversy on the day he was going to do it. Apparently on June 19th, it was scheduled. And then people complained because that's historically the Juneteenth celebration, which is the day that Texas accepted. Texas was advised of the Emancipation Proclamation, and that was the last day, the end of slavery in America. And you know what? I think it's a good thing to celebrate. I do. I know a lot of people are not sure about it, but that's a major thing that happened in our country. We ended slavery. That's what I'm talking about. We've come from that place, and that's the day it ended. We should celebrate it. It's a celebration for every American. Not just for the families that had people who were enslaved, but for all of us. We became a better country when that happened. So I am in favor of it as a holiday. It's something to celebrate, right? We have all these other things that we celebrate, you know, so this is a good thing to celebrate. So I'm not opposed to that, and I've given that a little bit of thought. But anyway, they didn't want to have it on Juneteenth because they thought that was disrespectful. Okay, so he moved it to the Saturday. All right, that was great. I found it interesting, though. I don't know if you'd heard the stories, you've seen it, or you kept up on it, where they said, oh, well, look, attendance is down at these Trump rallies. These Trump rallies are not what they used to be. People are falling away from Trump. Because remember, that is one of their strategies. They're trying to pry people away from the president, trying to make it look like other people are stepping away. Other people can't stand this guy anymore. Other people can't deal with this anymore. Anything is better than another 4 years of Trump. Well, let's think about that for a minute. We all know that he says things that are off the wall sometimes. We know he tweets things that disturb people. But we also know that when he's out there doing what he does, his economy was roaring. It was great. People had more work than we could handle. That's the number one thing everybody needs. They need to have good, solid employment with income to take care of their families. Once we do that, we can all do a lot of better things, right? So he was successful in that. He was appointing judges that actually looked at the Constitution and didn't disregard the Constitution. That's a good thing. I could go over the list. We all know the list of good things. It's the things that he says sometimes, the way he says it, taken out of context or in context, that people don't like. Okay, well, a lot of people say things that you have to look at what they do. You have to look at what they do. So one of the anti-Trump movement out there, the rhinos, as well as the people on the left, to try and get rid of him is to pry his followers away from him by making people feel like, uh-oh, man, we better do something else. So when I say let's look at that, so here's our choice. We stay with Trump, with at his worst, he's got an intolerant tongue, or he says things that make people upset. But the work that he does makes America a better place for everyone, for all of us, regardless of who you are, right or left. He is successful in that. So that's our choice. We have that continuing going forward. Or, because we don't like what he says, let's vote for Joe Biden, who we all know in reality, if we had a real news media that would really examine this, we would know that Joe Biden is not really going to be the president. You know, he's going to stand there that day. He's going to give his 2-minute speech. He's going to accept the powers. And then eventually he's going to have to step down, because it does look like he is suffering from a little bit of dementia or just the ravages of older age, that he doesn't seem to be sharp. Is he going to be able to deal with President Xi in China as that difficulty is coming upon us in real time very quickly? Is he going to be able to deal with these conflicts around the country? He is now changing all his opinions that he held his whole life to be expedient, so that people can say, oh, yeah, he's our guy. He is the progressive guy. He said a lot of things that the media is just not showing you, not reminding you. We're tearing down statues because what has somebody said before, but we don't do that to our friends on the left. Has anyone gone to Hillary Clinton and all of those people and say, Senator Byrd, you know, the guy that you guys all loved, that he was the greatest guy in the world, that would change the Senate? Do we rip down his picture? Should we take that down right now? Because he was the Grand Kleagle, I think they call it, of the Ku Klux Klan. That's who that guy was. Now, maybe he changed. A lot of people say he changed later in his life. Well, I applaud that. I think that's great that he realized what he had done was wrong. But we don't look at it that way. We don't allow people to change and get better. If you ever did one thing back in the day, you're done. So why is his picture still hanging up in the Senate? Why does Hillary Clinton not have to renounce him and his entire family and everything he ever did? All of them. Shouldn't they have to do that? That would make sense. You know, it's a lot like the Me Too movement. When it got going, it has a good purpose, to prevent sexual assaults. Everybody is in favor of that. But then it started attacking a bunch of people on the left who were guilty of it, and they lost their jobs, they lost their places, and then all of a sudden it went quiet. And then we saw what happened with Joe Biden. An accuser comes forward, and nobody makes a peep. So it's hypocrisy. So it's all hypocrisy that we have to deal with here. And that is part of the problem. That is part of the problem. There is no real conversation. So Trump's back out there now, and that's your choice. Those are your two choices. Trump's potty mouth and good, solid American financial efforts strengthen the world and a better nation. Or Joe Biden and the progressive left's taken us to God knows where, other than down, right? Because he already said he's going to undo the Trump tax cuts, which is going to tank the economy. Do you want to go back to that? That's one of your choices. He is beholden to China, right? He's beholden to China. He's beholden to a lot of other places because of the money deals he has going on in the background. You know, the ones they complain that Trump has, right? But they can't find any evidence of it. Well, Biden's got a lot of money from people in places. We should look into that, don't you think? He's beholden to these kinds of people. So is he going to really stand for our interests or his interests? I don't know. Maybe he would be the greatest patriot that ever lived and the greatest president. But his history does not demonstrate that that is who he would be. We would be heading for a huge problem. Plus, there's the whole mental issue. He's not actually going to be the president. So who he picks for vice president is actually who's going to be leading the country. Because I could imagine that either they would keep him in office, limit his appearances like they're doing now, keep him to the basement. He'd be in the basement of the White House, you know, making a speech every now and then from a teleprompter. But everyone else would be running the power of government. And then he just stays in office. And then he doesn't run for another term because, you know, then at that point, he, you know, he's done it and he's going to move on now and whatever. Or he will be the president for a year or so and then realize I really should go. Or there'll be political pressure for him to go. And whoever was anointed to be his vice president would then step up and be the president. Which, of course, never forget. You can only run for president two times, right? Two consecutive terms. So whoever's the vice president could fill out the rest of his term and then run two more times. So now they're looking at probably 10 years of power if they do that plan. See, so I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I understand how people work. You got to have plans. You got to have contingency plans. You got to think of a strategy going forward. Don't we all do that? Don't we all have strategies going forward? So there's your choices. There's your choices. So they're expecting that they keep telling stories about Trump that are negative, that people are going to abandon him and say anything is better. I'd just rather vote for Biden and just get this over with. This is terrible. But a lot of people don't say that. See, privately, people say, I like Trump. I like that he stands up to this swamp. I like that he stands up to these spineless Republicans. I like that he goes after the left and calls them out for what they are. People really do like that. So you can have all the stories you want. And I see people posting on social media and they're like, okay, all you Trump supporters, what about this? And they list 25 things, you know, articles that he did this, he did all stuff, a lot of it's been debunked already, but they keep pushing the lie, whatever it is. Some of it's real. Some of the things are real that he said and has done that are, they're not perfect. It is what it is. But they're expecting me and a lot of other people who supported him to hear that and go, oh, you know, you're right. I'd rather go socialist than put up with that again. That's where they're wrong. That's where they're not understanding why he was elected in the first place. They just can't get their heads around that. You know, why would the orange man be elected? Because the orange man said he was going to go against the swamp and all these creatures that control our lives. But it benefits them, doesn't benefit us. That's who he's going after. Now, does he have a lot of room to improve as he goes? Of course he does. Don't we all? Are you perfect? I'm not perfect. I'm trying all the time to be a better person. But my choice is not to go toward socialism. That's not going to happen. They're not going to wean me away from that and say, I'll give up on America, you know, just for now, just to get rid of them. You know what kind of damage they would do in 4, 8, or 10 years to our country? We'd never be able to come back. The economy would never come back. Who's the next Trump? Right? Who's going to come after Trump that's going to be bold like this? Right? We saw a Ronald Reagan. We see a Donald Trump. The rest are just swamp creatures. No offense. I mean, there's some of them are out there that are good, but they're not going to get the support either. You know, who's going to support the next strong Republican that comes out and speaks powerfully? Well, not the establishment Republicans. The rhinos, they're not going to support him. The Democrats are certainly not going to support him or her, whoever it is. There's a lot of excellent women in the Republican Party that I would vote for in a heartbeat because they're excellent people. They have great ideas. But the swamp Republicans are not going to vote for that strong conservative. And, you know, the Democrats are not going to vote for a strong conservative. So when we lose this moment, we're going to lose a lot. So that's why we really need to consider this. And I think quietly, because I've spoken to a lot of people who the first time around had Trump signs in their front yard, had Trump signs on their car, wore their MAGA hats. We don't live in that America anymore. You put a Trump sign on your front lawn, somebody might firebomb your house. Somebody might slash your tires. You wear a MAGA hat, somebody might hit you in the head with a bat and steal your hat. And we don't have the police to help us because in the places where that happens, the police have been neutered. They've been held back. They've been told, knock it off. Don't go out there and do police work. So we are in a different world, and this is what's adding up to my thoughts, that this is, we're kind of a lot like you put a frog in a bucket of water and you put that bucket of water on the stove and turn on the fire. The water warms up very, very slowly. The frog doesn't jump out of the water. It's comfortable in the water, and it stays there as the water gets hotter and hotter and hotter until it's too hot and it overcomes the frog and the frog dies in the exact pot that it could have hopped out of very easily earlier, but it didn't think it had to. That's kind of where we are. We're watching all these little things build up. We're listening to all of it. We're seeing it. We're seeing the brazen nature of it now. We're seeing outward socialists and communists coming forward that this is the way to go. We see a lot of our young people going that way, that that's going to be a great way. They don't realize what it's like to live in a gulag. And that's where they're going to end up, because that's the nature of that type of a government, you know? And like the frog in the boiling water, when it gets too hot, it's going to overcome us. There is a moment. There is a moment when that water goes from comfortably warm to death that the frog could get out of there. Unfortunately, in most instances, the frog does not make the right choice, doesn't see the moment, doesn't understand the moment, and thinks it'll always be better in a few minutes. It'll cool down. It'll all be good. And I'll be okay. And unfortunately, that leads to a lot of dead frogs. So, we don't want to be dead frogs, do we? No. We have lots of choices to make. So, Trump's back out there. And and this was interesting. I don't know if you saw how the media covered it. Apparently, there was an ongoing social media plot for a lot of people who were anti-Trump to order up the tickets to that show in Oklahoma. You know, reserve tickets, so that they had tickets for that show, with the purpose specifically of saying, and then we're not going to show up. And when the cameras show the place is empty, we can see that people aren't supporting Trump anymore. And that was reported. AOC, thank you, Mark Levin. AOC is publicly going on, I'm proud of you people that did that. That was a great thing to do, to order them tickets and then not show up. Leave him standing there by himself. Well, that was a good trick. I got to give him credit. That was a good trick, you know, because the media reported that that's what was done. And the very next story, they reported, looks like a lot of people didn't come to the Trump rally tonight. Looks like Trump's losing some kind of support. People are, you know, there was empty seats where there never were before. In the same news cycle, they would tell you that the seats are empty because it was a scam that took place. And the next thing tell you the seats are empty because people aren't following Trump. No, the tickets were taken. You know, do you get it? Do you see what a game that is? How ridiculous it is? But he was out there, and apparently the people who were there and saw it, I didn't, said it was great. I was otherwise preoccupied with chasing justice business, of course. But people said it was great. It was he was out there making fun of them, saying he has Parkinson's and how he went down the ramp. All the nonsense that comes up. Let's talk about his policies. Let's talk about that. No, we're going to talk about the man. We're going to attack him. So all of this is going on out there in our world. We're looking at fire and mayhem and craziness, or liberty, justice, and peace. The choice is always ours. This is Lieutenant Joe. We'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Chasing Justice. Now, my father-in-law, Ted, listens to the show all the time. Ted is 87 years old. He's healthy as a horse, got his wits about him, and he's an interesting guy. But he always tells me I don't mention it's Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. He says, you don't say it enough, so I'm letting you know who I am. I do enjoy being here. I do enjoy having a voice and being able to say things. I appreciate people reaching out to me. I think I've mentioned that I think I'm being shadow banned by Twitter, right? A lot of people will, you know, listen to the show and read my articles and then go on and they do the follow thing, right? And I follow back. You know, that's what you should do. If somebody follows you, you follow them back. You keep in contact. And I've been noticing that I'll get like a notice of 10 or 12 people, you know, these people are following you. And then the next day, here's another 10 people. These people are following you. And then I look at my Twitter account and my numbers are going the other direction. Slowly but surely, they're not recording the add-ons, the follows, and they're taking one or two a day away. I find that interesting. I find it very interesting that that's happening. Because I think I'm a pretty even-keeled kind of guy. I think I see I see both sides of these arguments. Now, doesn't mean I have to agree with both sides, but I see them and I analyze them for what they are. I look for truth. I don't care which side the truth is on. I'm looking for the truth. So I find that interesting that because I have a more, I guess, of a conservative bent to me, more traditional American bent, I'm being shadow banned. And we've heard about that, right? That's what's going on out there. So if you wanted to try and follow me, that would be great. It's at Pangaro Global, at Pangaro Global. So it'd be nice to see you out there. In the meantime, check out these other shows here on AmericaOutloud.com. I talk about it all the time. They're awesome. You know, on Saturday, I'm out working in my yard. Boom, I pop on the app on my phone, and I just listen to show after show. Every show is great. The hosts are interesting. The program topics are excellent. So do yourself a favor. Make AmericaOutloud.com your number one talk radio location, as well as reading some awesome stuff that's on that platform. All right? So as we go through, we're going to start looking at our pages of outrages and see what else is going on out in the world. Now, the pandemic is continuing, but we are seeing places open up. Here in New Jersey, we're opening up to outdoor dining. Outdoor dining. So I'm driving past a restaurant that's been closed for quite a while, and I see the whole parking lot is filled with tents and tables. And it looks pretty neat because it's now, you know, the weather's nice. People are outside. That's totally cool. I would hope they would keep that all the time, you know, weather permitting, of course, because I like to sit outside sometimes. I think it would be great. Unfortunately, that would damage the parking for lots and lots of these places. So anyway, that's one of the things we see going on. How about this John Bolton? How about this guy? You know, I gotta say, I had been quite aware of his presence and who he was through other administrations and other places that he had worked. And I found him to be a guy that I thought was good. I thought he was a good guy. You know, I thought he was smart. They say he's pro-war. He wants to fight all the time. But you can also look at that as he's a strong guy. Doesn't want to get pushed around. Not afraid to say, you know, you punch America, you're going to get punched back. That's a good thing. Right? The world needs to know that. We're not here to hurt nobody, but don't you dare lift a finger to us because we'll break your hand. That's should be understood by everybody. You know, we're willing to help anybody, but if you're going to attack us, you're going to do the wrong thing, it's not going to work out for you. And that's kind of what I thought of John Bolton. Though a lot of people, admit it, swamp creatures, a lot of people did not like him. They felt he was a neocon. He was too war hungry, which can certainly be a problem if that were true. But President Trump brought him on, and I said, okay, here's a strong guy with a strong guy. That should work out good. But of course, now he's got this book out where, of course, it's another tell-all to make money. So in today's world, you don't put a Trump sign in your front yard because they'll throw a firebomb at your house. You don't put a Trump bumper sticker on your car because they'll cut your tires, right? You don't wear a MAGA hat because they'll hit you in the head with a bat and steal it from you. So do you write a book about the good things about Trump, the revolution of the Trump administration and all the good things that are going on? No, because who's going to buy it? First of all, the bookstores would hide it. They wouldn't put it out. Publishers wouldn't publish it because it's very, very bad. So you wouldn't be able to get that. What can you get? You can get an anti-Trump book, right? And people will buy it just to hear the things they believe recounted back in a book. So I have to admit, every time one of these people comes out with one of these revelation books about Trump, I say, you know, there is always the possibility that he did do something bad somewhere along his life. Have you ever done anything bad? Everyone has done some bad things. So I keep saying to myself, there is a possibility that he did something bad that will come to light. Guy's a billionaire businessman. You know, lots goes into business and deals. You know, I'm involved in business and people are they say and they offer weird things all the time and things you have to stay away from. So maybe he was involved with something, and one of these books is going to come out and point it out, and we know the whole world would jump on him. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. So when I see it, I have a little apprehension. And then you start to hear the stories. And a lot like the people who are coming out accusing Republicans and conservatives of things, they usually have a pretty good story that's backed up by the media, but then when the facts start to come out, it really kind of falls apart. Kind of like the Mueller investigation, right? It was the greatest thing in the world. They had him. He did colluded with Russia. He did all this stuff. And then it turns out, not really. Our government faked it up to go after a president. So we find that that kind of stuff's out there. So John Bolton's book is coming out. And now I got to say, Adam Schiff came out. And you know, Adam Schiff is another one of these individuals that I'm not going to say is pro-American. He's part of the new swamp on the left. He's a problem. He was with the entire impeachment nonsense. He knew all those things were lies, and he lied right to us. And there's no consequences for him. People don't talk about it. But the reality here is that he came out and he said, you know, listen, John Bolton, he always says it's not about the money. But why didn't he come out and testify? And he could have destroyed Trump when we wanted him to, and he didn't. Instead, he puts it in a book. As most people will know, when they say it's not about the money, it's usually about the money. So I have to give, a stopped clock is right twice a day. So I'm going to say Adam Schiff is right in this one. Bolton obviously is jumping on that bandwagon that he had disagreements with President Trump. He thinks, and I heard this about him before, and I kind of let it go because I thought I liked the guy. They said, he always thinks he's better than the guy who's in charge. He could be that guy. So I think he thought, I'll put out this book and everything I think would be the right way to do, foreign policy and to run the country. And it's not. Don't we see a lot of these people? They're armchair quarterback. How about our own friends? They sit around, he never should have done that. Trump should do this. Trump should do that. Right? People have no concept of how things really work and how to run organizations unless they're in the middle of them. But anyway, this Bolton guy comes out with this book now. And I find it interesting that I kind of get the idea if you are working for the government and you have an agreement that you're not going to talk about sensitive things, that's not just important to the administration that's in office. That's important to every one of you and me because that's important information that we don't want to get out. It's classified. That means there's important things in there that the general public and the rest of the world who are enemies shouldn't know. So therefore, when you get in those positions, you take an agreement that you're not going to talk about it, write about it, release classified information, and that should be sacrosanct. That should be something you cannot change. So recently, the Department of Justice asked for an injunction on his book and went to a judge, and the judge says, pretty much the copies have already been sent out to the news organizations. They're already talking about them. So he should have been more careful about releasing stuff. It looks like he might have released some stuff, but I'm going to let the book go. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you say, there's classified stuff in there, but since they gave it out early, people know about it, I'm going to let it go. How does that work? That's like knowing that the government set up a fraud to go after the president, doesn't matter that it's Trump, any president, and use the powers of the government to fake up a situation, to go after him, to run an impeachment on lies. And no big deal. It didn't work out. Darn! What can we try next? How does that work out? Do you see? Another one of the things that we need to look at to say something is dreadfully wrong with our hold on liberty and freedom. Dreadfully wrong. Now, if you go back to the platform, AmericaOutloud.com, you'll see one of the articles I had written was about hypocrisy and how at one point hypocrisy was something that was horrible. If you were called a hypocrite and there was any proof you were a hypocrite, you were done. You can't be hypocritical. But now hypocrisy is not only applauded, people look for it. They look for it. They get away with it. They're cheered. They're applauded. Well, sure, you held all those opinions that time. But hey, for expedience, you're saying this now because that's what we want. That's okay. So hypocrisy has degraded our national conversations. The cancel culture and the political correctness now has gone a long way in its first steps to destroy and remove probably one of the most important rights we have, the linchpin, as I call it, of freedom and liberty, which is free speech. If you can silence your opponents, if you can shut them down so that they can't speak, their opinions cannot be heard, that goes a long way to controlling the overall conversation, the perceptions by people, and how power will be divvied up amongst those out there seeking power. So ask yourself this. Is Lieutenant Joe out on a limb here when he says the First Amendment, our right to free speech, is under absolute assault. Ask yourself that right now. I'll wait for your answer. Yes, I can hear all of you out there going, yes, of course it is. I'm not just saying it because I feel it. I'm saying it because you can see it. Political correctness is designed to change free speech. It's designed so that you only speak certain things, the approved things. Well, who decides what's approved? You know, our forefathers realized way back in the beginning of this whole mess that freedom and liberty can only be maintained when there is an open dialogue. Whether what the person is saying is good, bad, evil, hatred, it doesn't matter. We have to hear everything, and then we choose to accept or reject what people say. When you turn around and say, we have decided, no matter who the we is, whoever's in power at the moment, we have decided that these topics are bad, and you cannot speak about them. If you even bring them up, we're going to shut you down. Now, does that happen in America with political correctness? It sure does. It sure does. We know that if you make a post on social media that the company you work for doesn't like, boom, you're gone. You lost your job. You lost your livelihood. We know that if somebody says something, goes to a particular rally, wears a MAGA hat, they might lose their job. Because that's not approved. Matter of fact, we're all supposed to believe that that's evil. And if you wear that MAGA hat, you are evil. You see people outwardly saying that now. If you're a Trump supporter, then you support all the evil of the world. Because that's what he supports. And that's not true. But that's what the general conversation is by those who control the conversation. You see, so controlling speech is the most powerful way to change a country. And we are seeing that happen right before our eyes. So recently we had this officer in Georgia who is being charged now with murder of an individual that he was trying to arrest. And his mother was fired from her job. Now, they've given some story that, you know, she had other problems. She espoused opinions in the workplace that made other employees uncomfortable. So I have to say, like I usually do, let's take a look at it. What could it mean? What could this woman have possibly said in her workplace that made other employees uncomfortable? Well, her son's a police officer. So I'm going to guess that, number one, she believes police officers are good people, that they're not evil, racist, horrible, hating people that want to go out and just murder people randomly. I'm going to assume she thinks police are good people. I'm going to assume she thinks her son is a good person. I'm going to assume that she thinks her son is being charged inappropriately because she watched the video, like millions of us others did, and we're like, geez, I don't know. Guy pointed a taser at him. The prosecutor, who said the officer was in no danger when that taser was pointed at him, just 5 or 6 weeks ago indicted a bunch of officers for using a taser because he called it a deadly weapon. Hypocrisy? Is there even a story on that? No, it doesn't suit the narrative. So, therefore, we're not going to talk about it. So this woman was probably espousing things around her office like, the police are really good. My son is innocent. There could be another side to the story. We should have a trial before we have a conviction. You know, crazy things like that. And that made people in the office who probably believe that the police are bad, that, you know, our society is crazy conservative and we have to be very far to the left. Otherwise, we're not woke, we're not decent. And that made those people uncomfortable. And therefore, this woman got fired. Now, those are really the only two things. Either she really did other things that we don't know about because you can't know about discipline, or that's what made people uncomfortable. Do you think that doesn't tell everyone else in that company? You better keep your mouth shut if you're pro-American, if you're pro-gun, if you're pro-Trump, if you're pro-police, if you're pro-traditionalism, if you're pro-Constitution, any of those evil, horrible things now we know that destroy people's lives. If you're pro any of that stuff, you might lose your job. You might lose your career. You might be ostracized and thrown out. That is where we are today. Right? Is that where we want to be? Is that going more towards freedom and liberty or further away? Again, I'll wait for your answer. That's right. I hear you're again. This is the smartest audience in radio. Of course, it's taking us farther and farther away from free speech. and from freedom and from liberty. And I think we have to assume that that is the idea. That is the motivation. We have to change the things that people feel comfortable saying so that we can control the narrative. And then we can punish you for saying things that are not approved. And what's next? What's next after controlling the words you use? Punishing you for the words you say, for the opinions that you give. Next is punishing you for the thoughts you have in your head. And how are you going to prove you don't have those bad, evil thoughts that whoever's in power has deemed bad and evil? How are you going to prove that? Well, you're going to prove that by your actions. You're going to go out and you're going to do the things they tell you to do to show that you're good. You're not bad and evil, right? Does that sound familiar to anyone? How about people turning each other in? I saw three of my neighbors talking in the backyard. They didn't have a mask on. Ladies and gentlemen, where are we going here in America? Up is down, front is back, inside and outside have switched, right is wrong. We are on a road to a very, very dangerous place. And that's why I see these things coming. I'm not an alarmist. I'm not a conspiracy nut. I'm a guy that looks and sees what is in front of me, what is evidence. Not what is hearsay, not what people think that they're saying they believe is happening. What is actually happening around us? Can we make a case for war? I think it's pretty obvious that if you want freedom and liberty, there comes a time you have to either fight for it or defend it or give it up. I, for one, am not willing to give it up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here with me today on Chasing Justice. I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we're here every day at 3 p.m. to make your afternoons better. So until next time, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Think about this stuff, America. It's our lives we're talking about.